Well, good morning. Thanks, Lizzie. Thanks, everybody. Hey, why don't we pray while we're standing? Because I believe that God's really got something for us this morning. There's something that He wants us to grab hold of. The people that are here and those that are joining us online, I've just got on my heart that there is something about this morning's message that you need to get hold of. And I'm believing that there's just going to be an impartation of that this morning, not through me, but through the Holy Spirit who's here. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've got something that you want to say to us this morning. We thank you that you haven't finished with us. We thank you that there is so much more. Just open our hearts now and help us to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a seat. Great that you're here. Welcome everybody that might be tuning in on the long weekend. Even Pastor Alex's and my family are still away on a long weekend. I've driven back from Orford this morning to be with you, which is fantastic. So yeah, and we've nearly finished our season of long weekends, haven't we? So we can actually get the year fully started, probably from here on in. So don't forget Vision Sunday coming up. We're excited about that. Lots of really good things. So I'll get straight into it. I've been speaking this year already, and as we go into the year, there are three words that, and they're not the most exciting, marketable words, but I just believe that the Holy Spirit put these three words on my heart when I was thinking about this year. And number one is to dedicate. And we think about Proverbs 19 verse 3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established." Commit your works to the Lord and then your plans will be established. And I think sometimes we get all sorts of ideas and plans and things like that, but you know, after a while we actually want God to come into those plans and bless those plans after we've already struck them up ourselves. But He's actually said, you know, commit your plans. In other words, bring Him into that as you're dreaming, as you're visioning, as you're planning. Bring God into that, and then He is able to bless it. Because what happens is He's able to actually adjust those things right at the beginning, rather than getting way down the track and thinking, why isn't God working? When, you know, He was actually, you know, calling you to be on this track and you're over on that track, and there's got to be a big correction. But if we're able to go to Him in the inception, He's able to guide us and He's able to put His hand of blessing. And then I think as we pray, as we, you know, part of dedicating our plans and our future to Him is praying, is talking to Him about it all the time, is praying separately, and I'm going to talk a bit more about this today, praying individually, praying together, corporately, and praying continually. In other words, being aware of God in your world and talking to Him all the time. And the third thing is that brings us into alignment. We actually get into a place where we actually align with His purpose. We align with His plans. We align with Him and we align with each other. So they're the three words that God's really put on my heart this year. Dedicate, pray, and align. I want to ask you a question this morning. It's not a trick question. Can you live strong and courageous? Can you live strong and courageous in a world that has changed so much in recent times? Can you live strong and courageous when the idea of Christianity is not just, oh yeah, it's something that we used to think about once, but where so much of our society has become antagonistic towards it? Can you live strong and courageous when that is our culture? Can you live strong and courageous when you feel like things are not going your way? Can you live strong and courageous when you walk through the valley? Can you live strong and courageous when you're on the mountaintop? Can you live strong and courageous when these things come at you? Can you live strong and courageous when you're going through a health crisis? Can you live strong and courageous? And I've been speaking to people this morning. Can you live strong and courageous when you're going through loss? That's right, Greg. It's hard. My question is, can we? Have you noticed, if you're often making an important point to somebody, that you tend to repeat it, don't you? And you, any husbands here find that their wife tends to repeat things to them? I can say that because my wife's not here this morning. I know someone will tell her. Years ago, actually, Alex was on a missions trip to India, and it was the first time that I think she'd ever been outside of our Western culture. And one of the things that they found, this team, when they were in India, is that it is probably in that culture, the intent of we want something now is very different to how we see it in our Western culture. And what they started to discover was that you needed to perhaps ask more than once to actually reiterate the point. And one of the young guys on the team, bless him, was sort of struggling with it and started to get a bit frustrated about it. And so he was in a restaurant and he wanted a Coke. And so they said, well, you've often got to ask again to make sure that they know. So when the waiter came over, he said, can I have a Coke? Can I have a Coke? Can I have a Coke? So he thought if he got his three times in there and then it might go through. But the point is, isn't it? Like, if we want something and it's important, we tend to talk about it multiple times. And I'm sure you've been the recipient of having somebody explain something to you multiple times and you're sort of, yeah, you're there, yeah, yeah, I got it the first time. You don't have to go over it. Who's thought that? But the Bible actually uses this pattern. The Bible is actually quite repetitive on things that are important. And sometimes when you get something in a piece of scripture that is repeated multiple times in quick succession, there's actually something we've got to take notice of there. And I just a little bit of research on this is that the number three is when something is repeated three times, it's actually trying to signify and help us understand that that means complete. That if something is mentioned three times, it's complete. For example, in Revelation 4:8, you know, God is holy. Now, that ought to stand for us, God is holy. That's a statement. But God is holy, holy, holy three times. It actually means the fullness and the completeness that God is holy, that he doesn't need any more. There's nothing else. And it's the full circle of completeness that God is holy in himself. So, just hold that idea. When Joshua needed to step up and lead a million people through a river into hostile territory so that they could take hold of their promise, God spoke to him and repeated himself in quite quick succession. We get in the dialogue here in a minute three times. He said, be strong and courageous. So in Joshua 1 verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And he repeats it because this principle is important. To be strong and courageous in his strength. And I'll get to that in a minute. So let me go back to the text a little bit. So I will start at verse 6 in Joshua 1. And it says, be strong and courageous. There's once. So that's okay. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors. Be strong and courageous. That's twice. He's starting to feel like it's mum talking now. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. turning either to the right or the left, then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually, meditate on it day and night, and you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Third time, he thinks it's his wife. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. To be strong and courageous in his strength. See, being strong and courageous in God has nothing to do with where you've been. It has nothing to do with even where you are, what you've been through, but it has everything to do with God. And the fact that he said it three times, he says it's got everything to do with the completeness of God. The completeness of his promise, the completeness of who he is. And he promises if we are strong and courageous in him, he will bless us. He promises, and we'll look at this in a minute, he promises he will be with us. He promises he will extend our territory. He promises he will give the places that we place our feet where we choose to stand. He promises that. But what's our role in this? And he said it three times. He said, be strong and courageous. And can I unpack this a little bit? I think sometimes as Christians we take things out of context. We hear, well, when we are weak, he is strong. We must increase so that he will... We must decrease so he'll increase. We sometimes take the meekness that we're called to live as is Christians as to almost be, well, hands off. I'm going to let go and let God. So I'm going to live the rest of my life on the couch and just let God do it. Guess what's going to happen? And you know, you've heard that joke. My father-in-law, if he's online, he tells it all the time. And the old joke was, you know, the pastor, the rector, he's in the church manse and he's doing the garden. And some of the ladies from the church come past and they're sort of the blue rinse ladies. And they look over the fence and they go, oh dear rector, aren't you and God doing a wonderful job with this garden? And he looked up from pulling another weed out and he said, you should have seen it when God had it by himself. In other words, God created it, but there is a sense where if we're gonna receive his blessing, yes, he wants to do it, but he's actually given us some part in that. There is something about us grabbing hold of what he's given us, and in that we've got to choose to be strong and courageous in that. We can be, it's not about how strong you feel, but it's about you making that choice because you can be strong in who God is. And let me go back to verse 1 of Joshua 1. And it says this. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River. I promise you, what I promised Moses, wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. Wow. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. Wow. I was just talking to some conversation this morning. We've been working for many years in the Derwent Valley. And we've seen ebbs and flows and things up there. And there is no doubt that it actually hasn't been a real easy place to establish local church. There are reasons for that. There'd be spiritual reasons, there are cultural reasons, there are all sorts of things that are a part of that. But you know what? As we think, now has God given us the Derwent Valley? Has God given us the northern suburbs? Has God given us Hobart? You see, he's already given it to us. He's already asked us to be there. So he says, wherever you put your foot, you are in the land I've already given you. And sometimes we're thinking, oh yeah, I've got to go there and I've got to put my foot down and I've got to put a flag up and say, oh yeah, we claim this for the Lord. Now, there mightn't be anything wrong with that, but let's move our mindset a little bit and understand that God has already given it to us. So we stand there and we're not needing to shake and wobble and do anything crazy. We actually just go and stand there strong and courageous and confident because God has already given it to you. You're in a new job. You're starting a new season of your life. And God has already given it to you. You stand there. You stand strong. You stand courageous. You stand confidently because God has given it to you. You're actually going into a new season. You're going into some health things. And you're thinking, wow, how am I going to get through this? You are standing in what God has given you. He is with you. Be strong and courageous because He's given it to you. He's given you success through that season. He says, I promise you what I promised Moses, wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I've given you. And then he says to him, therefore, the time has come for you to lead. So I want to talk this morning about strong people. And like I said, sometimes we think, oh, gee, that's a bit full on, isn't it? Well, hey, come on. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, if you believe that Jesus died for your sins and set you free and Almighty God lives in you, are you a strong person?
Yes.
Come on. Of course you are. You see, the lie of the enemy is that, yeah, we are weak, so he can be strong. In other words, but that's talking about us submitting our will to his will. It's not about not being a strong person. And sometimes we live in the lie of the enemy and think, oh no, I can't be strong, and I'm just going to see what God does. Come on, we've got to get hold of this thing. Be strong and courageous. So strong people, number one, know their time. See, strong people know it's their time. And this is the message that God really had to Moses, to Joshua rather. He said, well, Moses is dead. It's your time. It's not about the past. It's not about what could have happened. He says, come on, strong people, step up. Moses is dead. Forget about how it used to be. Forget about the fact that, wow, gee, couldn't Moses have done better? Couldn't Moses have actually, when they first arrived at the promised land, after only being in the wilderness a short time, couldn't Moses have led better? Couldn't Moses have rallied them better? Couldn't Moses have dealt with the negativity right at the inception and stopped it spreading through a whole race of people and all the stuff that had gone on? Couldn't Moses have done that? And then we wouldn't have had to walk around this wilderness for 40 years. And here they are, right at the level of the promised land, and they can either go in, they can either be strong and courageous and follow a Joshua in, or they can wallow in the last 40 years. They can talk about what Moses did or didn't do. They can talk about what didn't happen, or they can actually say, it is time to step up. And that was the message in that moment. Thanks, Greg. That was the message in that moment to Joshua. Hey, it's a new season. That thing with Moses, yeah, we got some things right and we got some things wrong, but it was a season. Now is your time. What is God saying to you this morning about your time? Not about someone else's time, not about the things that have gone wrong or the things that have gone right or the glory days or whatever. What's he saying to you now about your season? You see, strong people know it's their time. Strong people step up. And really, he said to Joshua, he said, you know, come on, Joshua, step up, pack up and set up. Come on, stand up. I'm going to be with you. I've given you the completeness of my promise. I've said it three times. It means that I don't need anything else. So you step up now and you decide you're going to lead. You pack this camp up. So he sent round people and he said, right, we're going to pack this camp up because we're moving. And then he actually set up in such a way that they could get across the Jordan River and they could go and take Jericho. And what is God saying to you this morning about what are you going to step up into? What are you going to pack up? What are you going to put away? What is it from the past that we need to put away? You know, maybe sometimes it's a mindset. Sometimes it's an emotional dependence. Sometimes it's a pattern. Every time I feel down, I ring this person and we complain and we gossip. I know that's not you, but some people do it. Or every time I feel like this, I go and meet this friend and we have more drinks than we should. Or it's just any number of things. Pack it up, pack it up, pack it up, pack it up. Set up. Come on. You've stood up, you've packed up. Now get set up. Set up for what God's got for us. Set things up. Come on. That's about alignment. That's about moving things into position where we actually set up for the future. God said to Joshua, I've been preparing you for this. It's your time. I promise you what I've promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you'll be on the land I have given you. Come on. Come on. Who's on the land God's given them? Who's in the scenario God's given them? Who's in a situation that God has given us? Come on, we're in that. And we've got to stand in it, and we know we can be strong and courageous in that. All right, number two, strong people know their promises. Come on, I'm going to go through a heap of promises now, and I want you just to get hold of these things. Isaiah 41:10. So, here's a promise. Do not fear, for I am the Lord, I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous arm. Wow, a whole lot of promises there. Matthew 11:28. This is when we are struggling. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Lizzie talked about that this morning. She's not talking about resting on the couch. She's talking about living in peace because you know that somebody else has actually lifted the burden. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Come on. Sometimes the heat's on, isn't it? Sometimes it's all coming at you from everywhere. But you know what? You're not going to burn up. You're not going to be consumed. Because the promise is that you can walk through this stuff and you will not be consumed. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon forged against you will prevail. Hey, who's had some weapons come against them? Woo! Goodness me. We all get it in life, but I can tell you now, when you decide that you're going to step up, when you decide you're going to pack up and you're going to set up, and we've done this, we've seen that in our church journey. You know, when we actually go to a place and we put our feet down here in Moona and we go to a new season, when we go to the Derwent Valley, wow, spiritual stuff starts to come. You know, weapons actually get forged against us. That's normal. We don't have to think, woo, it's spooky. It's just what happens. But what is the promise of God? The promise of God is you will prevail. You will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is in me. Come on, isn't that good? You will refute every tongue that comes against you. So when the rubbish comes, when the enemy starts to talk, when he gets in your head, when he gets into somebody else's head, when he gets in your friend's head, even when you hear some of it in and around a church, what do? You refute it. Hey, that is not truth. I do not accept that. That is not my God. That is not what he is saying. And then suddenly, woo, it just dies. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Wow. When you grab hold of that promise, that's part of packing up and setting up. When my people who are called by my name, that's knowing who you are. Humbling yourself, that's understanding that it's God who works. Seek Him. That's dedicating our plans. That's aligning ourselves. Turn from their wicked ways. That's packing the stuff up. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Mark 11:24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it and it will be yours. It's another promise. Come on. Strong people know the promises. They know the word. They know what God says. They know that this stuff is true. James 5:14 and 15. If anyone among you is sick, let them call the elders of the church and pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Wow. And I've just given you just a few promises from the Word of God, but I encourage you that strong people know the promises. Whatever you got to do, if you've got to just start reading promises for a while, get them into your system, suddenly you will actually be stronger because you understand the power of God that is living in you and you start to live it out. Strong people know their promises. Here's something I think is really key to this year. Number three is strong people continue. Strong people continue. Strong people are dedicated. Listen to this. Come here to... If you love the church, you'll love these verses. Acts 2:42-47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and all had things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them as anyone had need. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favour with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Wow. There's a number of keys in there, but I think the first one is they continued. In other words, they continued to be strong and courageous even when opposition was coming. They continued when many of them were struck by poverty, they continued to meet. They continued to praise God. They continued to believe even when these things were happening. And in the middle of poverty, God was blowing up the church with people. It was amazing. They continued steadfastly to do the same practices over and over again and never stop. The apostles then appointed certain people to run a food program. And we're launching a food program in the Derwent Valley. And this was to feed the widows. And they announced, this is what they said, the apostles said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. In other words, they understood why the church was growing. They understood what was happening, and they said, well, actually, we're not going to get distracted by things that are, what's the word, immediate. We're not going to get distracted by stuff that is even real need. We're actually going to find a way that need gets met so that we can continue in what is most important and why the church is continuing to grow. So they continued. Think about Daniel. One of the most impacting prophets from the Old Testament, who lived in exile in Babylon. And if you only know a little bit about the Bible, you've probably heard about Daniel in the lion's den. And you may have seen the pictures and the paintings. And you probably see this rather Western-looking young man walking amongst the lions. But if you delve into the Word a little bit and do a bit of maths, you find at that point he probably wasn't a young man. In fact, Bible scholars believe that he would have been about 80. So here's this 80-year-old walking amongst the lions. And perhaps another false impression that we get is that Daniel spent his whole life constantly experiencing miracles and receiving amazing dreams and visions. But what we perhaps don't see in the book of Daniel is that showing the spiritual highlights of a good man's life. So don't judge yourself by somebody else's Instagram reel. Don't you love those reels of people? They're always on holidays. They've always got the most amazing family together in the most amazing resort. And you're struggling to get the bills paid. Kids are driving you mad. Theirs are looking wonderful. Yours have got snotty noses. And they're arguing and they're fighting and somebody's killing the other one. But over here, wow. See, most of Daniel's days were spent as a civil servant advising various kings. Now, who has ever said, I would like to have a really, really exciting, adventurous life, so I'm going to join the public service? Come on. I mean, those guys have all the fun, don't they? It is absolutely every single day. It's wow. He was in the public service. A lot of it would have been flaming boring. A lot of it would have been palace politics. A lot of it would have been procedures. A lot of it would have been some guy walking around with a clipboard and saying, have you got your OH&S report in? You know, a lot of it would have been that sort of stuff. But in all that, since his youth, Daniel had developed a habit of praying and thanking God three times a day. That's why he ended up in the lion's den. Because some guy saw it and saw the power in what he was doing. He saw the integrity in his life. He saw the favour of God on him. And he thought, okay, let's do something. So, you know, he tricked the king into bringing in this legislation that would actually land Daniel in the lion's den because he wouldn't bow to the king. But Daniel continued steadfastly. And that's the story. He knew they were watching him. He knew what was going on. And they brought this legislation in and it was like, okay, we're going to watch what Daniel does. Because every three times a day he goes and prays and he positions himself. He positions himself where he's actually honouring God and he faced Jerusalem. And that might sound legalistic, but that was just him aligning himself and saying, you know what, I'm not coming under the God of this age, the gods of Babylon. I actually serve a greater power. I serve the God of the universe. I serve the God of heaven. I serve the God of Israel. And he faces himself to Jerusalem, and he did that three times a day. And these people were watching to see. And, you know, what they knew that he would continue. So as soon as he did, it was that gotcha moment. Gotcha, Daniel. Gotcha. Gotcha. And sometimes, you see, Daniel wasn't going to allow the circumstances. He wasn't going to allow the politics. He wasn't going to allow the fear to actually break a powerful pattern that he continued in that was the secret of his walk with God. And how many times do we allow circumstance, do we allow politics, do we allow disappointment, do we allow fear, do we allow I'm just tired. Whatever it is, we allow that to actually take over a continuing pattern that is part of following God well. This is not religious. We're not saying be religious, but we're people of habit, and there is something powerful in a pattern. There's something powerful in deciding, actually, I am going to pray. I'm going to pray. And God doesn't actually mind whether you pray at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or wherever it is. There's nothing spiritual in that. But what he can do is he can honour a pattern where you're saying, I am going to make this part of my life. I'm going to honour him, and I'm going to continue in it. Because you suddenly align yourself and you're saying, okay, I've just overcome the spirit of this age because I have chosen a godly pattern. Yesterday family are up at Orford at the moment. Pastor Alex is up there too, enjoying a long weekend. And I decided that I'd go for a bike ride. That won't surprise any of you. But I decided to ride, but I didn't have my road bike. I had my mountain bike, and the reason I say that is it's heavier, makes it harder to go up steep hills. And I decided to ride up what is called the Thumbs. There's a lookout that looks up over Orford, and I'd been up there before, but I'm riding up there, and I'm thinking, gee, this is steeper than I remember it last time. This is harder than I remember it last time. And actually, my legs are hurting more than they hurt last time. And some of it was to do with that I was on a different bike. But because I've ridden similar hills so many times, what I do know is that if I just continue in a pattern, in other words, I just keep spinning those pedals, I just keep going in a pattern, I get into a zone that I can actually keep going in. I don't have to necessarily set the world on fire. I wasn't racing anybody, but I was just going to keep going, and I knew that if I kept going, I would actually get to the top. When I got to the top, I'd see this amazing view, and then I'd get to ride down the other side and actually enjoy a moment of recuperation. But it's the pattern of keeping going. And I think sometimes we actually see strong people continue. Strong people keep going because they actually know that the promise of God is more powerful than what is going on around them. The promise of God is actually bigger than this crappy situation. The promise of God is actually bigger than, there's somebody at church at the moment, and last week they said something a bit nasty to me. That happens. Thanks, Carla. But it does happen, doesn't it? We're broken people. If we're going to have a big church, we're going to have more idiots. You know, we will. I guarantee it. I guarantee the more people that get saved, the more likelihood there is of somebody offending you. The more likely there is of somebody coming in who's got a little bit of warped theology. And they'll start to talk about it. And you can say, oh, I'm offended that you don't know the scriptures the way that I know the scriptures. Oh, I'm not going to go back next week. Come on, grow up, stand up, set up, pack up. You are here. You can stand solid in your theology and your belief even when somebody else is saying something stupid. Come on. I think I'm getting on a hobby horse now. But one of the reasons that the church doesn't grow how it should is we're so flippin' easily offended. We were offended in our feelings. We're not offended. Come on, if you're going to be offended about who God is and what goes on in our society and the lack of honour for Him. Don't be offended that some person just said something to you and you couldn't come and sit in the same place about them. And I'm not talking about anything that's happened last week. I'm just talking about something I've seen so many times over about 100 years. Woo! I'll stop there. In Romans, Paul writes, "To those who persist in doing good, seek glory, honour, and immortality, he will give eternal life." To those who persist in doing good. What does that say to me? It's not saying you work for your salvation, but it's saying, when you get true salvation, you work it out. In other words, there is something in you that will give you the strength to persist. And maybe we read, and it's true in one sense, he will give you eternal life. And we think about the other side of the ditch. We think about eternity to come. But there's a part of that that's saying, you know, if you persist, you will live a kingdom life on this earth. You will actually live in eternity in the culture of heaven while you're living out this life. And you will receive not your promise out there somewhere, but you've already received your promise, so you're already walking in it. These verses, they speak of doing the same things over and over again. Here's the thing. Jesus said, "Come to me as little children." Can I tell you something about little children? Some of you remember about 5 or 6 years ago, we had 3 children, 3 and under. And all of them had things that had happened in their lives that meant that we had a fair bit of trauma going around our world. And it was a time of blessing, but it was also a time of incredible hard work. It was also a time of sometimes wondering, can I be strong in this season? And one of the ladies from Kennelly, the agency that was working with us, the one thing that she actually helped us with was she said, trauma children need routine. And that doesn't sound very exciting to us, but she said, you just make it like Groundhog Day. You just keep doing it. And the more there are less surprises, the more the pattern, the more secure it is in there. And there's a sense, we come to God as little children. He knows that we come as traumatized people living in a broken world. And he says, if you will come to me like little children, what do you need to do? You need to continue. You need to live good godly patterns. You need to actually get your routines in it so that you actually, even though you know stuff in your head, but something can get around your emotions and actually give you the security you need to live in that place. And so often we don't continue because we actually haven't we haven't been dedicated, we haven't been disciplined, we haven't actually put some of those patterns in place. And you might think, oh, that's... There's some pretty simple ones too. Come to church whenever you can. Not when it's good or when you're in the emotional place to do it. Come whenever you can, because stuff will happen. One of the things I know from my riding and my bike training is I've got a goal that I try to ride a certain amount of K's every week. And the thing that I've learned is that if ever I've got the opportunity to ride, I need to ride because other things happen. And then sometimes I'm not doing the K's I want to because life's been happening, but I've got to make sure every time I get up in the morning and the alarm clock goes off and I'm thinking, oh, gee, it's a bit windy out there and I'm feeling tired this morning and I don't want to go this morning and it's just, you know what it's like, so easy to hit snooze and go back to sleep. Well, what happens is, oh, the next day it is raining and you can't go, or the next day there's something has happened, or the next day Alex has gone somewhere and I can't leave the kids. It's all these things that happen, so you've got to take the opportunity when you can. And I think sometimes we don't go to church, sometimes we don't go to Connect Group. You guys are all here, you're the choir, but you know, this will reverberate. Sometimes we actually don't establish good patterns and we wonder why that we are not getting the power and the strength in our life that we need to have. You see, strong people understand the power of dedication and the power of commitment. Strong people understand that you pray regularly. Strong people understand that you go to your Connect group even when you don't feel like it very much. Who's been too tired to go to a Connect group? Come on, we all have, haven't we? When I had my old electrical business, I used to work crazy, crazy hours. And I remember particularly at this time, we were going to a Connect group, Alex and I. And quite honestly, it wasn't the most inspirational leadership. The guy leading it, if I was really honest in my heart, I thought I knew more than him. Anybody been to that Connect group? Thanks, Greg. And I'd be so tired. And often I'd been up at, you know, 4 in the morning and worked all day and then somehow... I'd often go straight to the Connect group and Alex would actually bring me a change of clothes because I was covered in grease. And I remember with the inspirational leadership in the Connect group, I'd mostly go to sleep. Be sitting on the couch and I'd be asleep. I wasn't being disrespectful, I was just so tired. And I remember time and time again, we'd get to the end and I got no idea what we talked about because I was sleeping through it. It was very encouraging for the leader. But then we get to the prayer time and we start to pray for people. And I still remember this so clearly. And the leader would say, hey, Dave, can you pray for so-and-so? Because somehow I'd just woken up a bit with the change. And I remember thinking, oh, I don't want to pray for them. Oh, I've got so much going on. I'm so busy. Poor me. And I'll walk over and it'll be like this. Can you pray for so-and-so? Yes, I can. I don't feel like it. I don't really care. I'm not engaged. I just want to get home and go to bed. I would place my hand on their head, and I remember as soon as I started to pray, as soon as it actually went from me to God, and suddenly I remember it time and time again, the Holy Spirit would move. I would pray into the situation of that person, and what would happen is they would be blessed, but more importantly, something would shift in my heart. I would move. If I didn't make the decision, even though I was tired, to get to Connect Group, I would just be even more disconnected. I would just be even more tired in my own little world. I could even descend into self-pity. Come on. strong people continue. Strong people continue. I want to pray for some people this morning. If the team want to join me. Joey, can you start doing that song that we did just before you finished? Yeah. Holy Spirit, come on, just meet us where we are right now. Come on, we thank you that you haven't called us to be wishy-washy. You haven't called us to be victims. You haven't called us to wonder why things keep happening to us. You have called us to be strong, to be courageous. You've called us to step up. You've called us to be more than conquerors. You've called us to be above. You've called us to place our feet in the land and the circumstances that you've already given us. You've called us beyond anything that we can think, hope, or even imagine. Right now, as we just sit here and we contemplate, we thank you so much for what you've given us. Thank you that you've given us life. We thank you that you've given us salvation. We thank you that you've given us victory. We thank you that we don't fight for a victory, but we fight from a victory. We thank you that we don't walk in darkness, that we walk in light. We thank you so much, Lord, that there is no weapon formed against us that will prosper. We thank you that there is no circumstance, no situation that you haven't seen that we can't walk through. We thank you that we don't camp in the valley of the shadow of death, but we walk through it. We thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that even though when we are weak, when we submit our will to you, that you are strong. We thank you that even on the days that we feel like we haven't got it, that we have the power of the living God inside us. We thank you for that. Come on, I want you to stand right now. I want you to stand in righteousness. I want you to stand on the land that God has already given you. I want you to stand in the circumstance that he already has for you. And we're going to start to press into him right now. Just got a couple of minutes left, but I just believe that there is something that God wants to do before we leave here, because there are people that walked in here this morning and you are thinking, Dave's talking about being strong. I just wish he wouldn't talk about that stuff, because I don't feel like that. but somehow the Holy Spirit has started to move and you realize that you are strong. You realize that you got the power of the living God inside you. You realize that there is no place that you will step your foot that He doesn't own, that He hasn't got authority over, and you're going to walk in those things. So come on, let's start to press into Him and see what He does here this morning.
The Lord is my shepherd, and He is everything I need, so I will not worry, I will not fear the enemy. He said that He loves me, He said that He's with me, even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, and still I know He has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take my deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father. He's my Savior, so why should I doubt my victory? Why would I question the rod and the staff that comforts me? He quiets the waters, He quiets the storm inside of me. So what could be better than walking with Him when I believe? He has good plans, He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans, He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father. He has good plans, He has good plans for me. I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans, He has good plans for me.
Talk really specifically now. God has good plans. He's got good plans for every person who was ever born on planet Earth. The only way that we can actually step in to the good plans of God. You can do some great things, you can do some amazing things, you can do some good things, but the only way that we can actually step in to the complete good plans of God, the only way that we can be totally healed, the only way that we can actually live a life where we actually continue and we are able to put godly patterns in our life that actually are more powerful than addiction, that are more powerful than depression, that are more powerful from all these things that come against us, is through Jesus Christ. It's through God Himself, who came to this world over 2,000 years ago and died, paid the price for our rebellion, paid the price for our turning away from God, paid the price for every horrible act that has ever been happened on this earth. He paid the price for that. He paid the price for all those things that you think about. You think, gee, wish I could go back and change that. He paid the price for that. And if you've never come to that point where you say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you love me. I believe you love me no matter what. I believe that you will continue to love me no matter what. I believe that you died for me, for my stuff. And I want to accept that. And I'm making a choice right now to follow you. Because I want to live in forgiveness. I want to live in victory. I want to know that I can be strong and courageous. If that's you this morning, let's bow our heads for a moment. If you've never done that, so many people here have prayed a prayer like that. But if you've never done that, if you've done it, you'll know. If you're unsure, come on, let's take the opportunities that we have. You've got an opportunity right now, those that are joining us online. If you've never done that, and you need to commit yourself to Jesus right now, just give me a wave. Say, hey, Dave, that's me. Maybe there are people here, you've done that once, but you just feel away from him this morning, and you know you've got to make that fresh commitment. If that's you, say, hey, Dave, that's me. Just slip your hand up so I know who I'm praying for. If you're online, send us a message. Awesome, awesome. Fantastic. I'm going to believe too, as we make this commitment this morning, that there's a breakthrough, that we make a decision that when we follow Jesus, that we actually are strong and courageous because he's in us. And that means that we step into some of these patterns. We step into some of these things that he has for us. So come on, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the Son of God. I thank you love me so much that you would die for me. Right now, I ask you into my heart, and I thank you for forgiving me. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. It's been great to have you in church this morning. Those of you that are online, if you've prayed that prayer, don't just walk away from the screen and think, oh yeah, that was a cool thing. Send us a message. You see, that's the first step in a pattern that will actually see you continue in what God is doing in your life. And so we'd love to catch up with you. We'd love to encourage you in that. So just don't let the moment pass. Just engage with us right now. Or maybe if you're even for online and you need prayer right now, just engage with that, and we'll connect with you online. Who knows? If you're locally here, we'll even call you up and we'll stand with you and pray in whatever's going on in your world. We're going to close the service now. We're going to release online. So God bless you. We loved having you. But as we close, I'm just going to ask the worship team to do that.